Chapter 4. As he looked up into the heaven, he spoke,
O Lord God Almighty, Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received knowledge of you, God of the angels and powers, of the whole creation, and of the whole race of the righteous who live in your sight, I bless you for having made me worthy of this day and hour. I bless you because I may have a part, along with the witnesses, in the cup of your Christ, unto resurrection in eternal life, resurrection both of soul and body in the incorruptibility of the Holy Spirit. May I be received today as a rich and acceptable sacrifice among those who are in your presence, as you have prepared and foretold and fulfilled, you who are the faithful and true God. For this and for all benefits I praise you, I bless you, I glorify you through the eternal and heavenly High Priest, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, with whom to you and the Holy Spirit be glory both now and for all the ages to come. Amen.
Now, when he had uttered the Amen and finished his prayer, the men in charge of the pyre kindled the fire. But as a great flame flashed out, we saw a miracle. That is, those of us to whom it was granted to see. Yes. And we were preserved to report to the others what happened. For the fire, shaped into the form of an ark, like a ship's sail filled with wind, encircling around the body of the testifier. And he was there in the middle, not like flesh burning, but instead like bread being baked, or gold and silver being purified in a furnace. And we also perceived a fragrant odor, as if frankincense or some other costly spices had been smoking there. Accordingly, the lawless men, seeing that his body could not be consumed by the fire, directed an executioner to approach and stab him with a dagger. And when he had done this, a great quantity of blood spilled out, so that the fire was extinguished. And the whole crowd marveled that there was such a distinction between both the unbelievers and the elect. And the most glorious Polycarp certainly was one of the elect, an envoyic and prophetic teacher among our contemporaries, and overseer of the Universal Assembly in Smyrna. For every word which proceeded from his lips has been fulfilled and will be fulfilled. But the jealous and envious and wicked one, the antagonist of the race of the righteous men, saw the greatness of his testimony and his irreproachable citizenship which he had led from the beginning. Both, how he was crowned with a crown of immortality and had won an inestimable prize. So the wicked one took measures that his poor body should not be taken away by us, although many desired to do this and to commune with his holy flesh. Accordingly, he put forward Nicetas, the father of Herodes, but the brother of Alce, to entreat the chief not to give up his body. For it was said,
lest they might abandon the crucified one and begin to revere this man.
And they spoke this at the suggestion and instigation of the Judeans, who also watched as we were going to take the body from the fire, because they did not know that we can never forsake the Anointed One, who suffered for the salvation of those who shall be saved throughout the entire world. Nor can we revere any other. For indeed, we bow down to the Anointed One as the Son of God. While we love the testifiers as disciples and imitators of the Lord, worthily for their insuperable goodwill for their own King and Teacher. With them, may we also be made both companions and fellow disciples. Therefore, on seeing the love of strife stirred up by the Judeans, the centurion put the body in the middle, as is their custom, and burned it. Now afterwards, we took up his bones, more valuable than precious stones, and finer than gold, and put them in a proper place. There, as far as we are able, the Lord will permit us to gather together in gladness and joy, in order to celebrate the birthday of his testimony, both in memory of those who fought the fight, and for both the training and preparation of those who will fight.